So the other day, I walked into my office here at church, took off my coat, and put on a fleece sweater to start the day. And I immediately thought of Mr. Rogers. Now, if you're not familiar with the TV show Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, that was his signature routine at the beginning of the show. He'd walk in the door, remove his coat, put on a sweater, and slip on some comfy shoes, all while singing "It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood." In those simple actions, he was leaving the outside world behind and inviting us to be his neighbor, to be in a place with him filled with warmth and kindness. Now, many of us, I dare to say, even those born after 2001 when the show ended, still benefit from Fred Rogers' wisdom and by his example. One iconic moment that often resurfaces in the media is when Mr. Rogers invites Officer Clemens, a black man, to cool off his feet with him in a small pool. This moment was very powerful, coming as it did in 1969, a time of great racial tension and division, a time when public pools were still segregated in many places. By simply sharing this peaceful moment with a black man who is also a police officer, Rogers sent a powerful message of unity without even saying a word. Fred Rogers shared the good news through his example. To children, two friends cooling off their feet in a pool might seem pretty ordinary, but years later, that memory could inspire choices of dignity, respect, and peace. Fred Rogers gave us a vision of a world transformed by gospel values, a vision of hope in troubled times. In a way, that's what Jesus is doing for us in the gospel today. Jesus goes up a high mountain with his closest disciples so they can experience his glory, the glory of Christ that awaits them on the other side of the cross. Jesus offers them a vision of hope. Now, before this event in Luke's gospel, Peter identified Jesus as the Messiah. But Jesus tells the disciples not to tell anyone about it. Now, why would he do that? Well, I think Jesus knew that Peter and the disciples did not fully grasp what it meant for him to be the Messiah, nor did they fully grasp what it meant to be his disciples. The Messiah will suffer greatly, he goes on to tell them, be rejected and killed, and on the third day be raised. Not only that, whoever wishes to come after him must be prepared to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. They would not fully understand this until the Holy Spirit comes upon them at Pentecost. So you can see why Jesus might have told them to kind of keep it to themselves. And you can imagine their confusion and fear. Now, Jesus invites Peter, John, and James, the leaders among his disciples, up the mountain, and he allows them to experience his transfiguration, revealing the mystery of his divine presence and power in their midst. This divine manifestation is overwhelming to them. They're overcome by sleep, confusion, and fear. And then a voice comes from the cloud and tells them in no certain terms, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." This is Jesus. This is a glimpse and an encouraging insight into the glory that awaits. This is why they are being called. They have been called to follow Jesus. They are now being called to follow him to Jerusalem, to his passion and death. And they see that resurrection will come. They fall silent and once again did not tell anyone what they had seen. And how could they? There was still so much that they had to experience before anyone could understand. But they were transformed. And this experience of divine glory and power would sustain them and give them hope in the dark times ahead. Christ does the same for us. Lent and Easter give us an annual reminder, an annual retreat, so we can change our hearts and sustain us through the joys and challenges of life. Last week was the first Sunday of Lent, and every year the church takes us out into the desert with Jesus. We see him face the devil's temptations, his temptations to be selfish and to go for worldly power and glory, the same temptations that we often face as human beings. And every year on this second Sunday of Lent, we experience Jesus' transfiguration. We get a glimpse of what awaits Jesus and all of us on the other side of the cross. But then, we, like the disciples, have to come down from the mountain to pick up that cross and follow Jesus through Lent and Good Friday before we experience the glory of Easter. In the same way, Jesus invites us to join him on the mountain, offering us a glimpse of his glory to transform us, to give us hope, and to sustain us on our journey. God the Father tells us, like they did Peter, John, and James, to listen to him. If we aren't sure what he's saying, we have some pretty clear directions in the Gospels. And St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, simply says, just be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So we have the examples of other people that we can follow if we're not quite sure what Christ is telling us. So where is Christ inviting you to encounter his glory? Is it in his word and sacrament here at Mass? Is it in service to God's people, in ministry to the lost, lonely, and forgotten? Is it in a restored relationship, helping to form others into disciples, or simply sharing the joy of your experience of God with others? Maybe it's treating someone who's different as a friend and neighbor, and dipping your feet into a pool with them. At the end of each show, Mr. Rogers says goodbye, puts on his coat and his street shoes, and heads out the door to face the world. And we do the same. Christ meets us where we are and invites us to go up the mountain with him. If we follow, we can encounter his glory and get a vision of hope to sustain us and others as we go back out into the world. And when we go back out, we go back transformed and transfigured and ready to keep moving forward on our journey.